This is The Best of Our Knowledge, a presentation of National Productions.
The cable network C-SPAN has been around for decades, bringing the uncut, as-it-happens business of Congress into our living rooms. But did you know, for years, representatives of the network have toured the country in a well-equipped bus visiting schools, book fairs, and state capitals?
We are traveling around the country just to talk about C-SPAN, to meet with students and people in the community, and promote our nonpartisan resources.
Today on The Best of Our Knowledge, we'll take a tour of the latest C-SPAN bus as it tours all 50 states. We'll also hear about a site that's been rating schools around the country for years and learn how the way they hand out school grades has changed. And we'll spend an academic minute dealing with bad bosses. I'm Bob Barrett, and this is The Best of Our Knowledge. So have you ever wondered what C-SPAN stands for? The students at Ferry Pass Middle School in Pensacola, Florida nailed it. These students were taking a tour of the C-SPAN bus, an oversized, technology-filled motor coach that's touring the country now, visiting state capitals, book fairs, and schools along the way. Janae Green is a C-SPAN representative who gives tours to students, as well as, you know, the stray education reporter on the bus.
We launched the bus in September and started in Delaware, and we finished November 2018. And we were in Baton Rouge earlier this week, and we're making our way to Florida. We'll do a couple of book festivals and then on to Tallahassee. So we're going to all 50 states, including Alaska and Hawaii, which everyone always gets really excited about. And we are traveling around the country just to talk about C-SPAN, to meet with students and people in the community, and promote our nonpartisan resources, as well as our competition that we have right now that's called Student Cam.
And we'll tell you about that competition in a minute. But first, they take the bus to Hawaii?
That's probably the biggest question right now. We basically put it on a barge, and we ship it out to Hawaii for a few days, and then once we have it there, we'll do events all around Hawaii. So
I was kidding. I didn't think you actually got it to
Hawaii.
Oh,
we do. This bus that you're standing on, we will be in Hawaii this summer. So we only have one bus that's traveling, and it goes to all 50 states, including Alaska and Hawaii. So we will have it there, and we'll do live programming from our bus. The back of the bus can be turned into a mobile production studio, and so we'll have them back there, and we'll do live programming with our Washington Journal morning show every morning, especially when we're in the Capitol. We'll definitely do it where we're at the Capitol cities, and so it's a great opportunity to not only have the bus around, but to get live programming from Hawaii or Alaska or Tallahassee, whatever capital that we are in.
C-SPAN is operated by a nonprofit company called the National Cable Satellite Corporation and is funded by cable and satellite companies and other providers through subscriber fees. It gets no government money. During the bus's cross-country tour, they work with cable companies to determine which cities and schools will make good places to stop and visit. The bus stop in Pensacola was in collaboration with Cox Communications.
We are created by the cable industry as a public service, and so we let them know that we're on the tour. We're coming to Pensacola because they were here, and we definitely like to reach out and work with our local affiliates when we're in the area, and they chose the schools for us to come to and partner with. And so we were at Home Elementary School this morning. We were at Workman Middle a few hours ago, and now we're here at Ferry Pass Middle School, and we're just incredibly excited and incredibly thankful to Cox Communications for having us here in Pensacola.
Welcome to the C-SPAN bus. This is our mobile studio and mobile classroom. My name is Doug Hemig, and I work for C-SPAN. I have the privilege of working on the C-SPAN bus year-round. So it's our outreach vehicle, and it's our studio. We actually do programming, live TV shows from the C-SPAN bus. And we also talk to students about all of our educational content, students and teachers.
So Doug Hemig is a marketing and community relations representative for C-SPAN and also gives tours on the bus. I asked him what students this age want to know when they take that tour.
Middle school students are great. A lot of times they're really excited about the technology and the bus, the bells and whistles of the bus, you know, the cameras, the lighting, all the tablets. So that's the main thing for middle school students. But we use that as an opportunity to get them engaged about all the educational content that we have in our network.
How often are students in middle school familiar with C-SPAN?
You know, you'd be surprised. A lot of them, their parents watch C-SPAN, or their teachers who are big fans of C-SPAN, who request the bus to come out to the schools you know, prep them. And so they know, they have a decent knowledge about our network and why we do what we do.
We're middle school now. I'm sure you deal with older students. I imagine that's a different experience.
It is, and it's with the older students, we actually go into the content a little bit more. In our presentation on the back of the couch area of our C-SPAN bus, we can actually go into the nitty-gritty of the politics a little bit more than we do with middle school students.
How is that? Is that more of a give and take with them, or are you just giving a lot?
Well, it depends on the audience. It's very organic. They come up with questions, and we just kind of roll with it. But the main idea of the whole bus is, and all of our presentations, is to kind of create show them a resource that maybe they hadn't considered before. So they walk away with something they can use, not only in the classroom, but especially with the high schoolers when they get ready to vote.
You're in school right now. I understand you do a lot of book fairs, too, around the country.
We do. We travel around. This Saturday, we're going to be in Tampa for a big book festival in town. Book TV, it's 48 hours of nonfiction authors, so we cover a lot of authors, readings, panel sessions, in-depth book reviews, you name it. We cover that on Book TV.
And when you're at a book fair, is it the same thing, just bringing people in to take tours?
Well, it depends. A lot of times we have a separate set, or we'll be in the auditorium, and we'll have a separate C-SPAN crew actually taking the cameras inside the buildings, and the bus will be used outside.
Both Doug Hemmig and Janae Green engaged the students on the tour, both in the back of the bus studio and in the front, where about a dozen tablets are set up along the walls of the bus for students to get more information about government and C-SPAN, and to take a quiz about government, which I have to admit was a bit challenging. Hemmig, who has been with C-SPAN for 17 years, says this bus is a major upgrade from previous models.
You know, we're learning. We're learning each time. This is much more of an open concept, more tablets, more room for the kids to explore. So each one gets better and better.
This is one of our most high-tech buses. We have 11 mobile tablets up front. And so on the bus, we have our mobile app where you can go on there. You can watch videos in each category, whether it's Congress, the Supreme Court, White House, our signature programming like the Washington Journal, or even Book TV and American History TV. There's also a quiz up here, but it allows students to go on. You're watching quick videos. You're getting information right to you. And then if you're interested, you can email it to yourself. So not only can you watch the video really quickly, but it emails it to you so you have it at home, and it allows you to watch the full program right there. Also, some technology that we have on the bus, our selfie station, so you can take a selfie with a C-SPAN mic in the background of the White House or of Congress or any part of D.C. And then we have a 360 camera, and that is one of our newest things. If you tap on the screen and drag across, whatever setting it's in, whether it's the White House press briefing room or a congressional hearing or a parade or a march in D.C., you drag across, you can see the 360 view of what it was like to be there as if you're standing right there in the middle of that congressional hearing. So it's a great opportunity for students to see. And then, of course, technology-wise, in our bus, we have the back that we transform to that production studio. And so we'll hang lights up top. We have two cameras there. And we also have a mini control room in the back that allows us to have the transmission and hook up the cameras and everything to make sure that we can show what's happening right on the bus directly back home in Washington, D.C. on C-SPAN.
Let me ask you a question. Where do you guys go to get your news and information? As middle school students, right, where do you guys go to get your news?
I get it from
newspaper. Okay, what else?
CNN.
CNN, okay. Where else?
We have this thing called...
Now, none of the students during the tour mentioned C-SPAN when they were asked where they get their news. Janae Green says part of what they do is teach students how to use C-SPAN.
We always ask, have you heard of C-SPAN before? And we get a couple hands that raise, and then I talk to them, okay, have you scrolled through the television and seen Congress on TV? And they're like, oh yeah, I've seen that. And I said, well, guess what? There's a great chance that was C-SPAN. And so we let them come on, whether we're showing them our mobile app on the bus and the video, so they can watch some of C-SPAN's content and start to see a little bit of what C-SPAN covers, whether it's the House when it's in session, the Senate when it's in session, or anything that's happening that's public policy related. We let them watch videos and start to see that these are things that you're learning in class that you can watch at home as well. And so it's a great opportunity for them to not only know that, yes, we are on TV, but everyone has their cell phones and their mobile devices these days, and you can go right on our website, cspan.org, and watch all of our, or almost all of our content up there. Currently, we have over 235,000 hours of documented video, and there's a ticker up there that it always goes up, so I add in counting, because basically once something airs live on C-SPAN, it's on our website, so you can watch it directly after, and the students just love seeing that and learning, oh, C-SPAN's out there for me. a different way to get your news, to be informed. It's long format programming, so we don't just show you the highlights and tell you what's happening and what to think about it, but we put it out there and let you watch it from the time someone steps in the room until the time someone exits the room, and really make your own informed decisions on what you saw right there on C-SPAN.
And remember earlier when we told you about that student cam competition that C-SPAN is running?
And what that is a video documentary competition for students. It allows them to get their voice out 5 to 7 minutes. They'll use some of C-SPAN's content from our video library. It has over 235,000 hours of documented video, so it's a great resource for students to use in and outside of the classroom. They can put that in their video for the competition, interview an elected official or someone who relates to it. The topic this year is the Constitution and you. So any part of the Constitution that you find important or find interesting, tell us why and why it's important to you and submit it. And grand prize is $5,000, and then it goes all the way down to $250 cash. And so we really encourage them to get their voices out and to think critically about issues that are currently affecting them and that are constitutional things.
The C-SPAN Student Cam Competition is open to students starting in middle school.
6th through 12th graders. So if you're in 6th grade, you can do it every year until you're a 12th grader. But the catch is, which is actually a better chance for you to win, middle school competes against middle school and high school against high school. So you're competing against students on your grade level and also in your region. So there's a great chance for you to win. We give over $100,000 in cash prizes, and we have about 150 winners. So we really do spread the wealth. And if you win, you can have either the bus or someone from C-SPAN come back to your school. We'll either print out a big check or get you a certificate, host a big assembly for you, invite elected officials out and press, and really celebrate you, because the students deserve it and they put so much work in, and they really are celebrated when we come back in town.
You can learn more about the Student Cam competition on the special website, studentcam.org. Still to come, a nonprofit school site that rates schools has a new look and a new method. That's next on The Best of Our Knowledge. Got any questions or comments about The Best of Our Knowledge? Send them in. Our email address is knowledge@wamc.org. And if you'd like to listen to this or any past programs again, you can find them online at our flagship station's website. Just go to wamc.org and click on the programs link. And while you're there, subscribe to The Best of Our Knowledge's podcast or download the WAMC radio app to listen on demand anytime, anyplace. This is The Best of Our Knowledge. I'm Bob Barrett. A nonprofit provider of information about schools has unveiled a new rating system. The California-based company Great Schools says it's now providing parents with more data about schools than just how students performed on standardized tests. The organization rolled out school ratings for the state of Massachusetts earlier this month. The Best of Our Knowledge's Paul Tuthill spoke with Great Schools president Matthew Nelson about those Massachusetts ratings and what has changed overall with this new rating system.
Well, for a long time, we've been known as a website that provides school ratings using a 1 through 10 scale based on test scores. And what's new is that today we provide a more nuanced view of schools. Our rating now includes multiple factors to reflect information we know is really important to parents.
And what are some of those factors?
Yeah, so we're using data provided by states and the federal civil rights data collection to include upwards of 6 inputs depending on access to the data. And really, we're trying to shine a light on how schools prepare their students for success in college and later in life. These factors include a progress rating, which shows how much kids learn over time. We also are looking at advanced coursework and opportunities for kids to engage in rigorous coursework, which is really important. With things like participation in Algebra 1 is a really important indicator of future success in school and in life. We've also included an equity rating, which shines a light on how well schools are serving all of its students. And, you know, at the end of the day, we really believe that truly great schools serve all of their students well by preparing them for college and life beyond.
And you said all of the data that you collect is available from the federal and state sources, correct? So it's you're essentially an aggregator.
We are, yes, sourcing the information, the raw data from the states and the federal data collection, and we're then turning that data into meaningful information for parents. And, you know, we really believe it's important for parents to be able to play their role to understand their options for their kids to be able to make the best decisions possible for their children's education.
So you're out with ratings for Massachusetts. So what's the best school in Massachusetts or the best school district?
You know, there is no single best school. It really depends on an individual family's priorities. And so what I would encourage families to do is go on to greatschools.org. You can search for a particular school if that's what you're interested in, or you can search for schools within your community. You can then look at those schools based on, you know, a variety of factors. And you can look at, you know, if you're really interested in how well a school is preparing its children for, you know, to be prepared for college, you can look at our college readiness indicator. If you're really interested in equity and how well the school serves all types of students, you can look at that information.
So, again, you're not basing this solely on test scores. So your system, your rating system is might be dramatically different from what Massachusetts uses when they evaluate schools and school systems, which is this level 1 through 5 rating system, which is based on MCAS scores.
Right. We see the information that we're providing to parents as a complement to what the state is publishing, right? The state has many stakeholders that it's trying to serve through its accountability system. Our single focus is on empowering parents with the information that they need to make the best decisions possible for their children. And that includes not only searching for what might be the best school for your child, given, you know, who your child is, but also we're really focused on giving parents actionable tips on how they can engage in conversations with administrators and teachers about the improving the school and the experience for students at the school that their child attends or other schools in their community.
Now, do your ratings include all regular public schools, charter schools, private schools?
We are comprehensive. We believe in helping parents make sense of all of their options.
So it includes all of the above then, basically.
That is correct. We do our best to have the most current comprehensive listing of all schools available, K through 12.
When parents check out your school ratings on your website, what's the top thing that they're looking for usually? Is it the academic progress, the equity ratings that you mentioned? What's the number one thing they're searching for?
It depends on the priorities. Families do take a lot of stock. You know, the majority of families really do want their kids to, you know, be prepared through their K-12 education to attend college. But, you know, some families are, you know, focused on other priorities. And, you know, it varies from family to family, which is why we've moved to a much more nuanced evaluation system, just to get a more holistic picture out to parents so that they can sort through the information and find what's most relevant to them.
Now, are your ratings available for schools in multiple states? And if so, how does Massachusetts stack up with the schools in other states?
Yeah, you know, we are nationwide with our information, but what's important to understand is that the ratings are unique to each state. So if you're looking at an individual school, that rating is, and the ratings for that school are showing a comparison to other schools within the state. So you really cannot compare the ratings across state lines.
People who want to check out information about schools in their local area, how do they go about it?
Yeah, I would encourage families to go to greatschools.org, and you can search for a school, or you can type in your address, or you can search by city, and you will find a list of schools, and you can dig deeper on each individual school to get a better picture. You know, I think another thing that's really important is we're providing a starting point for parents to understand their options. And that we would always encourage parents to, if they're looking for a school for their child, go visit the school and see if it's the right fit.
That was Matthew Nelson, the president of the nonprofit school rating service, Great Schools, speaking with the best of our knowledge is Paul Tuthill. You can learn more at greatschools.org. Most of us have at one time or another had to deal with a bad or abusive boss. And that's the topic of today's Academic Minute.
Powerful people who abuse subordinates may be hurting themselves as well. I'm Dr. Lynn Pascarella, president of the Association of American Colleges and Universities. And today on the Academic Minute, Trevor Folk, assistant professor in the School of Business at the University of Maryland, examines whether the abuse affects both parties.
We're all familiar with the phrase, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. In business culture, popular culture, and even our everyday lives, it's easy to recall incidents of someone on a power trip letting power go to their head and causing them to treat others poorly. While conventional understanding of this phenomenon suggests that targets of this ill-treatment suffer, this may not actually tell the whole story. In fact, recent research suggests that the powerful abuser may suffer as a result of his or her bad behavior. In a study of 116 professional and managerial employees across various organizations, we found that, as expected, feeling powerful motivated participants to engage in abusive behavior. We also found that power caused the powerful to feel that others were treating them with more incivility. This is likely because feeling powerful changes the expectations have for how others will treat them. In other words, they expect to be treated better, with more respect, higher regard, etc. We also found that these abusive behaviors and perceptions of incivility caused employees to suffer at home in the evening, manifested as reduced need fulfillment and relaxation. In other words, power caused employees to have more negative interactions with others during the workday, and these negative interactions harmed these employees' well-being when they went home. These findings are noteworthy for several reasons. First, they suggest that abusive power holders aren't immune from the consequences of their own bad behavior. This suggests that power may not be as universally positive for power holders as we traditionally believe. Second, it changes the way we think about victims of negative workplace behaviors. We all understand that targets of abusive behavior suffer. But these findings suggest that the perpetrators suffer as well, flipping the script on how we conceptualize the victims of bad behavior at work.
That was Trevor Folk of the University of Maryland. You can find this, other segments, and more information about the professors at academicminute.org.
The Academic Minute is a production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio, in partnership with the Association of American Colleges and Universities. That's all the time we have for this week's program. If you'd like to listen again, join us online at our flagship station's website. Go to WAMC.org and click on the programs link. While you're there, subscribe to our podcast or any of the other WAMC or National Productions podcasts. And if you have any questions or comments about the program, send them in. Our email address is knowledge@WAMC.org. And you can find us on Twitter at TBOOKnowledge. I'm Bob Barrett. Be sure to join us next time for another edition of The Best of Our Knowledge.
Bob Barrett is producer of The Best of Our Knowledge. Dr. Alan Chartok is executive producer. The Best of Our Knowledge is a production of WAMC Radio's National Productions, which is solely responsible for its content. Hear more at WAMC.org.